Yeah, so it's great to be with you this morning. I trust God for some more words before we finish. So keep yourself expectant because the Spirit is pregnant here. There's expectation. Isn't that what happens when you're pregnant? There's expectation. There's excitement. And we can't wait to invite the new little boy or little girl into the family. But this morning I want to speak about resilience. I want to speak about when we go through those difficult times and how we go through them. Resilience, and this thing's not doing the job well because it's sort of staying how I squeeze it, but resilience is when something is squashed like this and it bounces back to its original shape. So it means when you're under pressure, eventually, you will bounce back to where God had you before. You won't stay in that squashed position. The one thing I do like about this is you can clean big pipes, small pipes. The Lord can use it to clean out the pipes in your life. Okay, so resilience is the ability to cope with and rise to the even challenges. Yeah. I hate it when I see a word and I can't say it. Problems and setbacks. You might meet them in your life. You will come against them. Patty and I have walked through so many things in our life. I remember one day, I don't know if Dan remembers this day, Ginny and Justin actually came to minister in the church we were living in, Benoni. And they had a little red Corolla at that stage of their life. And so they parked it downstairs, and at that stage, we didn't have a fence around the property. So when we came out, their red Corolla was gone. And so we're like, oh, no. So our first thing, is it insured? Is it? Jeannie says, we're going to pray. So we prayed, and within a half an hour of that car being stolen, they found it in the township, totally. The only thing that was broken was the ignition so they could start the car. But resilience is the ability to bounce back. To bounce back. We need to deal with strongholds in our life. Many of us have things that are holding us back. And we need to break those things off our life. We need to not allow them to cramp our style, as it were. Because God has got a style for you. And he wants you to fulfill that. He doesn't want you to get to the end of your life and you haven't done what he's called you to do. Because there are things he does, but there are things you have to do as well to see those things come to pass. So the first scripture is 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 to 6. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. That's difficult to live with. When I was a young man, I was still full of, before I got saved, if someone cut me off in the car, I would want to cut them off and in turn do some damage to them. I wasn't saved then, by the way. We don't fight flesh and blood. We must be careful. We fight what's behind that person. The thing that's pushing them, the thing that's causing them to do what they are doing. On the contrary, they have divine power. This is our weapon to demolish strongholds. We need to demolish that they cannot be put back together. There's no better example than this building down the road that collapsed. You ride past there now and it's a parking lot. That's what God expects of us to do. To strongholds in our life, those things that we can't get past, those things that are holding us back. Demolish them. Demolish them. Every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So when you're thinking of this message, my current situation is not my final destination. My current situation is not my final destination. So there are some things that we see in a resilient person. There's some things that we can identify in their life. And if these, you don't see them in your life, you can say, okay, I'm going to work at this area of my life until I've got it to the place where it needs to be. So to be resilient, we should be able to face storms. You've got to be able to face storms. If you go and read in the Gospels, it talks about when Jesus went to the other side, there was a storm that the disciples thought was going to kill them. And then it goes on a little further. It says Jesus was lying in the boat on a cushion. That looks like he was really worried about the storm. I saw Chad and Nikki. We watched a movie on Friday night. No swearing. Able to watch it if you want to. No, nothing that you can't watch. But boy, there was action. There were wah, 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 wah. And there's Chad laying with his blanket on like this. And there's Nikki across the other side also like, I'm thinking, how can these guys lay still? But they were on, the head was on the pillow. Is your head on the pillow? In storms, we need to live out God's instructions. I always think God's instructions and Satan's suggestions. I want to live in God's instructions, not in what the devil wants me to do. And it's so easy to allow ourselves to get caught up in what the enemy wants us to do instead of what God wants us to do. So in Matthew 7 and verse 24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. On the rock. What does that mean to you? Who's the rock? It's Jesus. The man who builds his house on the rock. The man who builds his house on Jesus. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I think not the last conference, but the one before, we were sitting in a tent on this patch of grass, and there was a storm like you could not believe. The tent was shaking. The water, you had to like lift your feet up because the water was coming in and under our feet. And Andrew made me laugh so much. He looks up and all the stuff carrying all the lighting and the speakers and everything, it's like, I'm thinking any minute now this thing's going to come down. And Andrew says, hey, listen, guys, don't worry. If it does come down, it'll chop your legs off, and next year you can come in a wheelchair. That's his solution. I thought, that's a man after my own heart, but I made sure I wasn't sitting in the front row. It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell down with a great crash. You don't want your house, your family, your marriage, your parenting, you don't want it to come down with a loud crash. You want to be working. A person that's resilient is working on the rock all the time. Nikki and Chad have been just such a blessing to me as I've watched how they parent. Very open-handed because their children are a lot older now. They're not babies anymore. I was always taught you parent like this. When they're young and as they get older, you open your hand. And so you guys are doing a great job. You really are. You're a blessing to me. You really are. So those things can cause your house, whatever that is, your ministry, your family, your marriage, your parenting, it can cause it to come down. To be resilient, you need to have built on the rock. Sometimes it's difficult to build on the rock, but build on the rock. I went through a serious period in my life where I went through depression, and the easiest way to try and describe it to you guys so that you know what I experienced was when I went outside, I didn't see any color. It was all black, gray, white. There was no color in my life. And during those times, I would wake up and I would say, Lord, I can't hold on to you today. You have to hold on to me. I was in ministry. I fortunately had a great team around me. I had an incredible wife. Are you still incredible? Okay. She's still incredible. But I hung on and asked him to hold me. I kept my house on the rock. Keep your house on the rock. The most important thing when you build is the foundations. If they are not good and they are not right, your house will come down. The second aspect of a resilient person is we cannot allow circumstances to pull us down. Oh, I was so chuffed to see Steve here this morning. Sorry, I've forgotten his wife for a second. Alicia, that's right. Oh, that's terrible. Can't be a pastor if you forget people's names. But for me, I was a bit like all, I didn't know how to handle it. When we first came to Just Gen, if people had babies, they were off for like 6 weeks. And I was like, hey, if they are leaders, I expect them to be at the next meeting, whatever that is, Sunday, leaders, prayer, whatever it is. And even if they are saints, I expect them to be here within like a week. Because you know what? It's actually important to bring that baby in to the family right from the start, that they all partake of them. It's Laura, hey, the baby. Laura, just to see Steve hold her up. I remember a few times down in Josh Jen where the guys would bring their, I think that's a Lion King thing, eh? They would bring their babies down and hold them up for the family to see. This is my child. This is my child. It's almost like what God said over his son. This is my child whom I'm well pleased. This is my child whom I'm well pleased. And so if you're parenting well, you're overcoming circumstances. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I tell you, I'd fall. I wouldn't make it out of here, I think. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. I'm so looking forward to coming back and spending a lengthy period of time with you guys, because my wife and I have so many stories to tell you. You're going to love it. We've been, our biggest claim to fame is we've been in an airplane crash. My two, Daniel and his youngest son, my youngest son, were mauled by a Rottweiler. They had over 200 stitches in their head, both of them. The one you could see into his head. And so that happened on a Monday. We had been asked to come on as deacons on the Sunday after that. So the pastor, being a pastor, phoned us and said, can't we postpone it? I said, no ways. You are not postponing what God has got for us. We'll be there on Sunday. And you will pray us in. And so we were there. Our children's heads were all bandaged up and ready for action. But we cannot allow circumstances to drag us down. Guys, as Christians, we need to be stronger. We need to be resilient. When we come under pressure, we need to bounce back. We can't stay down. We have to get up and push forward again. Yes, there will be times when you go through really difficult circumstances. We had a time, I'll leave that for later, so many stories. But when we didn't have money to pay our rent, that was just one of them. But if we look at David, David is a prime example. He's a man that stands out because God said, this is a man after my own heart. It actually says, and it's that in the Old Testament, but in Acts 13 and verse 22, it says that the Lord tested Saul and took him out. And he put David in position because he was a man after my own heart. He is a man after my own heart. What do we do when we go through difficult times? Look, let's look at 1 Samuel 30 and verse 3 to 6. Sorry, what time do you guys normally end, Chad? About half past? Can I finish at about 11? Okay. When we'll have a tea break. We're going to get coffee and come back. How's that? Or we'll stand up. And his men reached Ziklag. They found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Can you imagine your wives? Never mind one wife. Your wives. Gone. Who's going to do the food? Who's going to do the cleaning? If you've got more than one wife, these things happen. The cleaning and the feeding. We think Jesus was great by feeding the 5,000. My wife has fed me many more times than 5,000. We've been married 42 years, and so it's a long time that we've been feeding. But when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Have you ever felt like that? I can't cry anymore. I'm just finished. Depression can put you in that place. But you know what? Depression is not the place to stay. It's an opportunity for you to be resilient and to come out of. Depression is not the trophy. It's the victory and the restoration that is the trophy. So David's two wives had been captured. Well, why was that any different to the other oak's wives? But anyway, both the names are there. You can read them up there. Widow of Nabal of Carmel, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. If you've ever been in leadership, David was leading. People can stone you. They can stone you. And these days they've got bricks. They can brick you. It's bigger than a stone. Don't find yourself in the place of stoning leadership. But leaders, be prepared. Those things will come. It will happen. Each one was bitter in their spirit because of his sons and daughters. But this is a sentence I want. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David found strength in the Lord his God. What would that look like for you? I found strength in the Lord. We need to position ourselves to find that strength. We need to be in a place of seeking after God on a regular basis. I would even say daily, but people tell you they can't do it daily. On a regular basis, the presence of God, the Word of God, worship, devoted. We all know the word devoted in Josh Chen. Who doesn't know what devoted means? You're doing well, yeah, Chair, they all know. Devoted means you will do whatever. You will do whatever you have to do to push into what God has for you. Anything. In those days, the Christians were jammed onto poles, and the tar was poured over them, and they were used like street lamps. But they refused to compromise their devotion to those four things that we read about in Acts 2:42. So to be resilient, we cannot conform, but we must transform and renew daily. We must be transformed. My wife's waiting to say what I normally say. I take cholesterol medication. Dries my mouth out. That's another story. I had a triple bypass. But I'm still back here doing what God wants me to do. I refuse. I refuse. Patty and I have refused for the enemy to hold us down. We refuse. To be resilient, we cannot conform, but we must reform and renew daily. Revitalize, all the re's. There must be change. Guys, there needs to be change in your life. If there is no change, you will not be resilient. You will not. Longest relationship in Josh Jen, and probably this couple. First guys to meet me and Patty, and they had us over for supper. They had us over for brass. I learned a whole lot of Cape Town stuff very quickly. I was actually amazed, Natas, that you used briquettes. Because we built a fire out of briquettes. And their really good friend came with them, and he saw this, and he actually pulled it out of the fire. He said, we don't bra on briquettes in Cape Town. We bra on wood. I said, well, you go and buy it then. So he did. He went out and he found a place to buy it, and he came back. And you know what? I've since learned that it actually does taste different. Briquettes can sometimes taste a bit like paraffin. You get that paraffin taste. But anyway, we got to change. We had to change. We had to change from briquettes to wood. And you know what? When we change, we mustn't allow ourselves to go back. We got to learn from those mistakes. So when people speak to you, listen, learn. Don't defend and justify. Listen. Hey, it doesn't mean you have to agree, but listen first. Listen. And then what I tend to do is I don't respond up front. I will go to those that are close to me and say, is this true? And if it's not truth, if it's just criticism, I'll actually blow it away. If it's accurate, I'll try to make those adjustments in my life. And so we need to do that if we want to be resilient. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves fighting battles that God hasn't called us to fight. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that means, eh? How do you renew your mind? What does the Bible tell us? You know what? You guys are really great in coming to the front and worshiping in that, but you're not very engaging when I talk to you. So that's better. That's better. That's what I like. That's why I like to be funny, because people engage with me and we have fun together and we leave and we thought, what happened today? To be resilient, we must remember in the dark what we have learned in the light. Guys, we learn stuff in the light, and then we find ourselves in the dark, like depression. Or in China, they say you're not a pastor until you've spent time in jail. And they don't allow them to take Bibles with them into jail. So they only got what they memorize. So what they've learned in the light, they remember in the dark. We need to be like that. In John 12 and verse 35, it says, then Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Isn't that funny when you, like at Chad and Nikki's house where we're staying, or anyone's house when you're traveling, and you stay in their house, and you want to go to the toilet in the middle of the night. Where's the light switch? Am I allowed to put it on? Am I not allowed to put it on? Do I have to close the door? Am I allowed to flush the toilet because it won't wake everyone up? While you're in the light, while it's daytime, ask him, do you mind if I flush the toilet? Chad, like, flush the toilet. Makes me feel more comfortable. But guys, don't forget in the dark what you've learned in the light. When you've learned Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves, apostolic teaching, prayer, breaking of bread, fellowship. Don't forget those things when you go through difficult times. You can't forget those things. Because if you forget them, you haven't learned them. Your rock will come down. You will, your house will come down. And Jesus in Matthew 6:34, I haven't given it to you, he actually prophesies. He says, you will have trouble. You're going to have trouble. I can tell you now, if you've never had trouble, you're going to have trouble. If you've already had trouble, you know what I'm talking about. You're probably going to have more trouble. Our walk with God has been an incredible walk where we have got so many stories to tell. But you know what? Every test must be turned into a testimony. It can't stay a test because that means you have been overcome. But when you turn that test into a testimony, you have overcome by the word, the blood of the Lamb on the rock. 6:1, to be resilient, we have to put our hope in the Lord, to wait on him. In Isaiah 40 and verse 28, I'm just going to jump down to the end where it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That word hope actually means wait. Those who wait in the Lord. But waiting is active. It's not passive. It's something you do. They will renew their strength. And the picture that I was given in the young days when I was a Christian was when a vine grows up on a wall, it's strong. But when a vine is not against the wall, it's weak. And so that's how we need to be with the Holy Spirit. We need to be attached to the Holy Spirit, so that we may be strong. Waiting, expecting, pregnant, looking for, hoping. It's so funny when you say the wrong things at the wrong time. But maybe it was a word of prophecy. So don't throw it out. Hoping and waiting is to entwine ourselves with the Holy Spirit, exchanging our weakness for his strength. Our weakness. This morning, a lot of the words were, you can't do it in your own strength. I thought Patty's word could have been better. She said, go up the mountain and down the other side. I thought, well, why don't we just go through it? Why can't we? David's men, they ran through walls. I'm joking, babes. I want lunch. To be ready, you must be able to steady yourself. In Ephesians 6, it says, when everything's happened, the warfare scriptures, stand. Stand. It's not easy to stand when everything's coming against you. It's not easy to stand. But you must be able to steady yourself. Yes, Lord, I've got this. You've got this with me. The Holy Spirit's on this vine, and I can stand. So I want to quickly just wrap this up. We are made of three batteries. Three batteries, and you read about them in Matthew 22 and verse 36. Which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Spirit, soul, body. And I was saying to Chad, you know what? If one of those batteries goes flat, all the batteries are going to go flat. So physically, if you're doing really well, and I tell you what, I'm blown away by Chad. He's out there running while I'm still sleeping every morning. I was like that once. Long ago. Spiritually, time in the presence of the Lord. There's no shortcut. Time in the presence of the Lord. Emotions. This isn't so spiritual, but let me tell you, this is the one that pulls most people down. When they are emotionally struggling. And so what happens, it goes down and down, and eventually it's so flat that the next two are trying to lift it up, but they're going down. I'm praying, I'm spending time in the presence of the Lord, and I'm running, but I'm just finding myself going down and down. And eventually you get to a place where that battery needs to be taken out, and put onto a trickle charge. So it's not all the time. All the electrical looks, Dan, Henry. So the battery can be trickle charged slowly over a period of time so it can retain its charge again. Maybe you like that today. That's why in Josh Gen we send guys off on long leave from time to time. Because they don't even know it, but their batteries are getting flat. One of their batteries. And they need to be trickle charged, which takes time. And trickle charging means in many areas, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your leadership, you need to be trickle charged while those around you actually take the pressure off you so that your battery can be recharged. And I really feel that for Nikki and Chad, is that you guys need to release them when they go so that they can be trickle charged. Just slowly, they can be restored to the place that God wants them. I'm not saying that they lost their salvation or anything like that. I'm just saying they need what God has got for them. In Josh Gen, we have learned, guys that are leading congregations, probably the hardest job in Josh Gen is to lead a congregation as a lead elder. They have to answer for everything. Why this? Why that? Why this? Difficult. We did it for a long time. We know what happens. And you know what? The enemy will come against you to drain your battery. You'll find yourself fighting battles that are actually not yours. They're actually God's battles. You'll find yourself doing things that actually you don't need to be caught up in. Let me tell you, it's the devil. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for us in Jeremiah, but the devil's got a plan for us. He's real. C.S. Lewis wrote in the Screwtape Letters. Who's read that? If you haven't, go and read it. It's great. It's these devils talking to each other about how they're going to take down Christians. There are two equal and opposite errors into which we fall. One is we disbelieve in the devil's existence. No, there isn't really a devil. There are guys. I don't believe in the devil. The other is to believe and develop an unhealthy interest in him. And you know what? The devil is pleased with both of those. Because both of them are a distraction. Both of them will cause you to fight the wrong battles. Cholesterol. Every time I drink, say cholesterol. So you'll attack your physical body through neglect, through the Holy Spirit being saved. I had a triple bypass, and I wanted to blame the devil. But you know what happened? I found myself being overweight. I developed secondary sugar diabetes. Secondary sugar diabetes, what it does is it erodes the inside of your veins until they collapse. And when they collapse, you die if it hasn't been caught in time. Not the devil's fault. Yes, God saved me out of that situation. But it was my fault initially up front. God says, look after the temple I've given you. You'll attack your soul, your mind, your emotions. I find that's the place where I struggle the most. Where, oh, what's this person doing? And why is that person attacking me? Guys, don't attack one another. That's what people that don't know the Lord do. Don't do it. It says love your brother and your sister if they behave. He will attack your relationship with the Lord. I haven't got time to do this. I'll just listen in the car. I'll do it while I'm brushing my teeth. Have you ever tried to pray while you're brushing your teeth? Sounds like tongues. Maybe God does understand. So what do we do when the devil attacks? It says, James 4 and verse 6, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. I've got this thing in my head lately that God is not looking for ability, he's looking for humility. And humility will bring unity. Because when we choose to go low, there'll be unity. When we choose to want to exalt, there won't be unity. Submit yourselves then to God. I've heard, when I was growing up as a Christian, I heard this scripture often. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. They didn't say, submit yourselves then to God. How do I do that? Well, it starts by time in the presence of God. Then it moves on to what we sometimes don't like. It means submitting to the leadership that God has put over your life. Hebrews 13 and verse 7 says, submit to your leaders. Obey them. Why? Because they will give an account for you one day. That's why I think a lead elder's job is sometimes the most difficult. He's going to stand before God and he's going to give an account for you guys. That's why he's so keen to send you out. But when you're in that place of submission, then you can resist the devil. And the word says he has to go. 1 Peter 5, 8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. The first thing I want to point out there is like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. It says, like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Chad was a game ranger for a while. I lived in Nelspruit, so I often went to the Kruger Park. I just love nature. It recreates inside of me. And so you would see buffalo. And buffalo is like probably the prime target for lions if they can land it. But they always go for the buffalo on the outskirts. They don't go for the one in the middle. They're going to get taken out. But they will chase the buffalo until they can get them to a stage where one of them isolates itself. And then they will take it down. So my exhortation is, get into the middle. Don't find yourself on the outskirts. How do you do that? Oh, no, man, I don't feel like serving coffee today. Oh, no, I'm not going to pray. Oh, no, no. And all those grumblings, that gets you on the outskirts of the herd. That's setting you up for the devil. Be alert. Be watchful. What are you watching? Never mind, be watchful. What are you watching? What you watch on the TV or the movie screen can put you on the edge of the herd, can get you into a really bad place. Anger, something I had to overcome in my life. Before I got saved, I was an angry person. Mitchell's Plain was sort of like, I lived on the bluff. And we had running gang warfare on the bluff. And so I had this anger inside of me. And it only began to subside when I got saved. But it didn't just stop. It took self-control. It took the fruits of the Spirit to actually work that thing out in my life. We can't blame others. We got to take control of our own lives. Oh, no, he did something to me. No. What did I do to deserve what he did? What did I do? He's prowling. Ever watched a lion? He doesn't do much of the killing. He gets his wives to do it, actually. The lionesses do most of the killing. Like a roaring lion. Well, we know the devil is a liar. We got this funny thing Patty and I were laughing about because some people were doing deliverance and they said, you must call the devil out by his name. I said, do you think he's going to tell you the truth? He's the father of lies. One of the things that God hates is lying lips. One of the seven things God hates. Ephesians 6 and verse 13 speaks about standing, putting on your armor and standing. None of that armor protects your back. It's all in the front. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What are we doing? What are we doing to recharge our batteries? Are we in a place of repentance on a regular basis? What does that mean? Falling on your knees? Maybe that means that for you, but the actual interpretation is change your mind, first of all, and then change your posture. You're walking away from God, make sure you find yourself walking towards God after you've repented. If we will do what he's asked us to do, he will do what he does. He leads us. He comforts us. He sets us free, draws close to us. He protects us. We're going to do what we have to do, and then he will do what he has to do. We've got to be those who are focused on the Lord, because the way you think is the way you'll act. It says that in the Bible, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. Anyway, it gives God a real opportunity. And so I like to, whenever I get the opportunity to preach, speak, chat, whatever word you want to call it, not Chad, chat, I like to go back to pattern. What is God's pattern? And if you go to the end of Peter's preach in Acts 2, we see a bit of the pattern. Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a pattern. What's first? Repent. If you don't serve Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, lots of people, oh, Jesus is my Savior. No, Lord, he actually reigns in your life. You do what he asks you to do. You can see those people amongst those that are, he's my Savior. No, those where he reigns, they respond. They move when they need to move. They stop when they need to stop. They get down on their knees when they need to. Repent, change. Repent, change, and be baptized. Baptized, guys. Are you baptized? In the northern suburbs, they because they've got what they believe, they don't believe they need to be baptized. So it often takes a period of time for them to be educated and to understand that baptism means under the water. Nothing showing. Have you been baptized, or did you hold your hand up with your car keys and your flat keys and your all those things you didn't want to be baptized with you? Above the water. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And then your sins will be forgiven. You'll receive forgiveness of your sins. And you know what? I'm telling you, amongst you guys, there are those that are struggling with receiving forgiveness for their sins. Hey, I did that. God can never forgive me for that. I want to tell you, the word says, the pattern says, repent and be baptized, and you'll receive forgiveness for your sins. Don't you want to be in that place? I do. I don't want to struggle and fight and... did I say something wrong? Okay. Just checking. That's one of my two wives. No, I shouldn't say that. Guys, if you're in that place where something's dragging you down, the word says, repent, turn away from the devil, turn towards God, be baptized. I'm going to take it one step further. Be baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. Are you thinking today, what's he talking about, baptized in the Holy Spirit? Look, I don't know you guys at all. Maybe all of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But where I've ministered, there are those that have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They are trying to walk with God in their own strength. I want to tell you, it's not possible. You will fall. You will be discouraged. You will break down. So repent, be baptized, receive forgiveness of your sins, and then what? This for me is the greatest thing. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pay for him. It's not going to cost you money. You will receive the gift. When you get a gift, do you pay for it? Because if you do, then it's not a gift. So this morning, as I'm sitting here, maybe you guys can bow your heads. I just want to give you an opportunity. We want to be resilient people, but we need to be those that have repented. I don't know you guys. Is there anyone here this morning that has never made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of their life? Is there anyone like that? I was in that place once. Took me a while to recognize it, but when I did something about it. Is there anyone like that this morning? Is there anyone that's never been baptized, first of all, in water? Is there anyone? Whoa, this is a power congregation. Everyone's been baptized. Are you sure? As I say to my wife, well, I used to say to my children, liars go to hell. Then, have you all received the gift of the Holy Spirit? And one of the evidences of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is speaking in tongues. It's not the only one, it's one of them, but for me it's a really important one because I find my faith, I find my strength when I pray in tongues, the prayer language that God has given me. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues, I'm talking about your prayer language. Lord, I need you today. I need you. I want to tell you, when I'm in that place and I'm able to pray in tongues, Jude 20 says, build up your faith by praying in the Spirit. That's when I need faith. Is there anyone like that that doesn't pray in tongues? You've never prayed in tongues. I wonder if you guys could come to the front. We want to pray for you. It's really important. Could hand your baby over. Yeah, there we go. Can you also come? Maybe the elders could come up and... It's amazing. You know what? This is a huge thing in churches. And these people are trying to walk in their own strength. Man, it's impossible. Man, it's impossible. And as the elders pray for you, they are stewarding you. They are going to give an account. And this morning, as you want to pray in tongues, I don't want you to force you. When I grew up in church, it was, pray in tongues. No. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. It says, the word says, Jesus baptizes us. And we want Jesus to come and baptize us this morning. He's a wonderful God. He's got presence for us. He's got a gift for us. He's got a gift for us. There we go. Leaders are coming up to be prayed for or to pray. Yeah. Has everybody that's come up for prayer got someone praying for them? So I'm going to pray, and then you guys pray for the people that you're actually standing with. So, Lord, I pray for these courageous people this morning. Courageous, Lord. And I pray that as they step out, you are going to bless them. You are going to bless them with this gift of speaking in tongues, in this gift of building up their faith, in this gift of finding strength in you, of becoming resilient people, Lord. Those that are able to stand in difficult times. Those that are able to push through when everything seems impossible. And so I just pray for them, Lord. And maybe you guys can begin to just pray for them. Give them an opportunity. I want to say to you, if you're being prayed for, don't let your head get in the way of your heart. Just let out what you're feeling. No pressure. Just allow God to minister through His Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill your people to overflowing. Fill them, Lord.